Random thought. Has social media ruined casual dining? And I'm asking this because I saw this tweet from Grinch and a whole bunch of numbers. I'm not even going to read all them damn numbers. This is way too many numbers. It was up on Shade Room the other day, right? And it said, before social media, Olive Garden, Red Lobster, Cheesecake Factory were all considered solid places to eat. Somehow, now everyone hates those places. Y'all be acting for the internet. And I'm like, are they right? Did social media ruin the casual dining facility?
No, because there's still here. Casual dining restaurants are still around. And I worked at
Applebee's.
Yeah, I worked at Applebee's in 99. It was like one of the best casual dining restaurants at that time. But what social media has done is ranked. But what social media has done is it helped give exposure to mom and pop places, people that have more of a niche type of menu compared to Applebee's, Friday's, Chili's. Now, those restaurants, it's about what they're designed, who they're designed for. Applebee's, Friday's, Chili's is not designed for the tech engineer making $180,000 single living in a condo. They're not for them. It's for the hardworking class family, blue collar family. You got mom, dad, maybe two or three kids. Where can you take the whole family out to eat for under $100? Applebee's.
Okay. Where can you take the whole family out for some microwave food? Because obviously it's not home cooked. It's not cooked from scratch. It's none of that.
It's not. You pay more for quality, as we all know. You pay more for quality. So I don't think it's done anything bad. Now, what social media also has done is expose some of them. Because you have the employees that were showing everybody, showing all the stuff going to microwaves, getting cooked. You had the social media video of the batch of Long Island iced teas and margarita mix that Applebee's was making for their dollar margaritas, whatever. They're like, hey, this stuff is crap. And so you have employees who are showing that stuff. So social media exposed that. But it also helped a lot of these little small mom and pop. Questlove is comments about restaurants all the time and recommends some of these local places. I've never seen a Questlove post that was like, man, I was at Chili's, those baby backs, shoot.
Hey, Beyonce gave Red Lobster a hell of an endorsement when she put those, take him to Red Lobster, if he hit it good, take him to Red Lobster, and everybody was going to Red Lobster for a minute, right? You know, but when you're living in a place like Charleston, South Carolina, for as long as I lived there, Red Lobster is not seafood. It's crap food. Because seafood is right around the corner, right down the street. There's some real seafood. It's like living in Baltimore and trying to get crab cakes from some other place, right? So in that space, and I get it, it works in some places. Because if you're getting the Midwest where they're not getting that fresh seafood, they're gonna love them some Red Lobster. But I think to the other point, like you're saying, you don't have the celebrities really saying a whole lot about these casual dining spots, but is it that they were very comfortable in their space because they were dominating the marketplace for so long that they got comfortable? Or did the audience, like us, grow up and so did our taste buds? And we were like, ain't that shit no more?
That's a good question because I'm highly opinionated on this. I think what happened with some of those chains is they grew too big. And so once they got to a point they grew so much, the quality of the product started to come down. And so because they had to pay for all these employees, all these different buildings, rent, the whole thing. And so I think they popped up too many of them too quickly. And then you see a slowdown or you see them closing a lot of them, especially pre-pandemic, a lot of those places were closing. Applebee's, Fridays, a lot of those were closing anyway. So I don't think that our taste buds have changed or that they've struggled because they still have more marketing dollars than a lot of these mom and pops. But there's a difference of Beyonce, you know, giving a shout out to Red Lobster compared to Beyonce going to this mom and pop place and taking the video of her in there saying, hey, y'all should come to this. Because when everybody goes to that town, they're going to say, hey, Beyonce had lunch here. We got to go have lunch at this place that Beyonce went to. And that place is going to be booming. So it just really depends. You know, now, I disagree with the people of Charleston, South Carolina, because seafood is seafood. It's just better quality seafood. So Red Lobster is seafood.
Fresh seafood, frozen seafood. There's a big difference. It's not quality. It's not seafood, it's seafood. Stop it.
It's seafood. It's quality.
Jesus Christ, you act like you worked at Red Lobster and you're personally offended by this. Like,
I'm not. I'm just saying, salad. All I'm saying is call it what it is. It's quality or not. That's like saying McDonald's isn't a real cheeseburger.
It's not.
Five Guys is a real cheeseburger. No, it's a cheeseburger.
It is.
It's just one has a big difference. Quality.
One has one's frozen quality. Patty, one's, hey, this is damn good and juicy.
Still a cheeseburger. That doesn't change
it. Okay, whatever.
Whether it's frozen or fresh, it's still the exact
same. That's like
same
saying
thing.
McDonald's nuggets are the same as Chick-fil-A's nuggets. I will hang up this damn video feed right now if you say
okay.
that.
Okay. So then what about sperm banks? Frozen sperm compared to fresh quality sperm, they still do the same job.
I'll take neither. I don't know what you're doing over there, but neither for me.
So the women that are getting... When they get an artificial insemination, we're like, oh, you've never had real sperm. You got-
it's got to be fresh out the chute. Hot down the pipe. It's the only way to get it, girl. Take that. Oh my God! Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude,
and I'm just Terrell. You ever been out there and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
I cannot believe this is how we're starting to show off. Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college. Yes, seriously. We've been having these conversations since college.
Just like this. It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 106. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
Oh, perfect. 106. Exactly.
Nice little debate around fresh and frozen.
Oh my God. Well, as we take this to a more positive note, we get to For the Love of Sports. Yo, we talked about this just a couple episodes ago. Whether
last week's episode,
exactly.
Yeah.
Deion Sanders, Jackson State versus Alabama State, that little tiff they had at midfield after the game, was it good for college, for HBCU football? And as we're seeing, one of the things you talked about was the fact that Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, being at Jackson State was good for HBCU football as a whole. What we're seeing now, College Game Day. Mm-hmm. They just announced, and they put it up in such a way. They said, Jackson State, we're coming to your city. The epic HBCU rivalry matchup between at Go Jags and at JSU Tigers FB is up next. They're going to Jackson, Mississippi for Southern versus Jackson State. How big is this? Remember, Jackson has a little water crisis going on right now that the world needs to know about, and they will hear, whether they want to or not, they're going to hear about it on College Game Day next Saturday. Well, this Saturday.
They will. The amount of money that College Game Day is going to bring to that city with people that are traveling in just for that.
Mm-hmm.
You have all the different people that make College Game Day work. They're going to be patronizing a lot of different businesses out there, restaurants. If you notice, College Game Day, they always highlight a restaurant of some kind and show
that
there's so many wins to this. And it's only happening, let's just be honest, give the man credit, because of Deion. And if it wasn't for Deion, A, out there winning.
But also, I would say, they got to be winning too. You got to give it up to the team. The team is doing its thing.
The team is winning. And Deion's putting together a good team, but also Deion is giving that school a level of pride that they didn't have before. Remember the argument about putting their names on the back of the jerseys? How they didn't even have that at that school. So all these different things that he's doing is a great look for HBCUs, for these players. The odds of them ever being on College Game Day and having their game highlighted. That hasn't happened at Jackson State ever. But then also, the last time it happened at an HBCU was when? 2008, as we... Research, right?
Yeah, 2008, Florida A&M hosted Hampton, and it's also the first time that College Game Day has gone to an FCS school since 2019 when it was there for North Dakota State at South Dakota State.
Yeah, but I mean, just look how huge that is. So I think it's amazing. It brings, again, all this media brings a lot of attention to a Jackson State, Southern, where other people black, white, green, or red are looking at these schools because the schools also advertise for themselves for the purpose of recruitment. So they might have a special program out there that maybe other kids even think about was an option because they're used to going to big name schools. So I think this is huge, and kudos to Coach Prime and what he's doing.
You know, one of the things with Coach Prime too, that as I saw some more stories on, I think it was, I was watching 60 Minutes last week on him and what he's done at Jackson State when he got there, right? He looked at the facilities. He's like, yo, okay, the field is so bad that if it rains, we got to go to a high school football place to go do this. This is ridiculous. Talk to Walmart, got them to buy in and build a new facility, including new locker rooms and all that, that actually look up to date. And we've been on HBCU campuses. We know how the gym looks sometimes. We know how the football field is. We know how the bleachers look. It's, and the pride that those players have right now playing, and like they said, playing in front of our people is so big and so enriching. And I think there's going to be a shift. Maybe not an all-out shift, but there's a shift of talent heading. And like Deion said, because they even asked him, would you have gone to an HBCU? He goes, they never recruited me. And that's because they never thought they could get me. But they never recruited me. I don't think there's anybody I can't get.
Well, with his name, no.
Exactly.
Now back then, HBCUs couldn't afford to recruit Deion.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, they didn't recruit you. Not that they didn't want you. They just knew, hey, there's no way we can compete with Florida State and the money that they have. So, hey, go on, brother. Do what you got to do. But it's not so much about the money aspect. And I think that's what, I feel like that's what Deion is selling to these players, about they can come and do something bigger, right, for a school and for a program and really change how HBCUs are viewed. I think this is bigger than him just saying, I want Jackson State to be the best. He's bringing a lot more attention to HBCUs. And it's an amazing thing. And not only that, player-wise, these pros that go into coaching, now they're considering coaching at these HBCUs and doing the same thing. And so it's a bigger vision, I think, that Deion has for this. And again, I think it's awesome for all these different HBCU programs that this is happening. And College Game Day coming out, money, money, money.
I can't wait to see him take his team to a Power 5 matchup next year. I think that's... I'm sure it's something he's working on, like, and he wants, I'm sure he wants to do it while his son is still there. Like, hey, we need to play Clemson. We need to play Notre Dame. We need to play USC. We need to play Alabama, LSU. One of these teams. We may get our ass kicked, but we're going to go out there and show we can do some things. And I think that alone is good, because that's why these smaller schools do play these big schools. And it's, you know, not just for the money influx, but also so they can get a chance to play at this other level. Can you run with these guys? Because that's who you're trying to compete against if you try to make it to the next level called the NFL.
Now, I would not be surprised, and mark my words that I said this. I would not be surprised that there's either a Netflix documentary or 30 for 30 on Deion Sanders and what he's done for Jackson State.
I think he's already been doing it himself.
Yeah, so like even if they do play that Power 5 school and they win, that's going to be like a whole Friday Night Lights 2 or 3 hour documentary on everything Deion Sanders did and went through to get to this point with his players, with his son getting interviewed. I mean, just I can see it happening, which again, more power to him.
Last chance you in real life. Oh, man. You know, there's this interesting story that came through rgrtpod@gmail.com. And I say interesting when really it should be this sickening story about these daycare workers. What happened here?
Yeah, so these daycare workers are charged, accused of scaring tots. I love how the title is. But this is in Hamilton, Mississippi. There are four people linked to viral video footage of Mississippi daycare employees using a scary mask to frighten young children, are facing charges of felony child abuse, and a fifth person faces two misdemeanor counts, authorities say, because they didn't actually say something. So here's the gist of it. These, and if you look at the pictures of these folks.
They didn't need a mask.
No. They didn't need a mask. I'm like, why? But they're putting on the mask from Scream. And so they were approaching kids, and really trying to scare them. And like, as a, you know, if they were bad, they were really trying to scare them. The kids was crying, screaming, all just traumatizing these children. And somebody's videoing it, you know. And so this happened. Eventually, the video leaked, and now these people got arrested. But I'm just like, why would you do this to two or 3 year old children?
Was it for social media?
No, it wasn't. Again, why you videoed it, I don't know, and I don't understand the purpose of it. But these kids are screaming for their lives, and these people are trying to use like corporal punishment as some way to scare the kids into being good kids. It's just crazy. I couldn't imagine if there was a Terrell Jr. Woo!
Yo, I mean, and here's the bad thing. It would have been 10 times worse if they're doing this for the gram, just to get clicks, right? Because one thing I hate to see is people even doing it with their own kids. Like, if your kid's crying, throw some sliced cheese on their face and see what happens. Like, why? Best way to stop a tantrum. Kids, they're crying. You just spray some friggin' whipped cream in their mouth. Like, yeah. Don't follow these stupid-ass trends. And don't do what these stupid-ass people did. Why are you terrorizing these kids? You know, here's the thing that people don't realize. Children are sponges, right? There's a reason why you're not supposed to be just watching what you want to watch around your kids. Like, oh, well, they're just kids. They don't know any different. Yes, they do. They pick up everything around them. They're sponges. You are terrorizing these kids by scaring the living shit out of them. Then what happens? Now when they can't sleep well at night because that is just going through their mind, you don't know what effect you're having on these kids. Yo, it's scary if you're like, ah, it's funny. No, it's not. Why? I'm glad they charged them. And I'm glad they charged that fifth person. Like, yo, this is when that no snitching, that doesn't come into play. Hey, speak up.
Oh, yeah. Now, the only thing I don't like about this story is that the daycare's owner is not facing any charges. You got to be held responsible for some of this too.
Yeah.
So I don't understand that. You got to be able. But one thing, if it was like having that at La Petite Academy, and so like the CEO of La Petite's not going to be charged, that would make sense.
Right, because that's a national brand.
Exactly. But whoever owned this place, the owner, they have to hold some accountability to this, because I'd want to know what kind of background checks did you do. What were the qualifications for these teachers that were there? What were the systems of check and balances that you had? Why are you allowing them to record in the classroom? What's the rules and regulations you have around teachers recording kids in their classroom?
It's just And so where the hell were you when these kids were screaming their bloody hell heads off? Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Did you not hear it?
Is this the first time they've done this? Did this happen last year around things? Halloween? You know, is this a thing that your schools normally did? Now that you got caught, you're like, oh, I didn't know.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
But I do have an archive. Would you like to see from 2020?
But still, asses would be kicked. Had that been, if I had a kid, that happened to them, asses would be kicked.
Oh, yeah, indeed, man. That is ridiculous, and I'm glad they're charged. And anybody else thinking about some dumb shit like that, they need to be charged too, because, yeah, that's ridiculous. Almost as ridiculous as this other bullshit. The headline alone should get you interested. American Airlines passenger asked for reparations for being wedged between two obese people. Now, I used to fly American Airlines a lot last year. I know how small them damn planes can get. I know how uncomfortable those planes can be at times. And I know what it means to have somebody a little bit bigger than yourself. Because, you know, I ain't skinny like I used to be, 140 pounds soaking wet, right? But still, I'm not squashing you, if anything. So being wedged between two people, I can understand there's a level of uncomfortability. But reparations?
And what's the race of the person that was wedged between these two people?
Ain't nowhere close to our complexion. So,
Is that what sitting between two obese people feels like?
Like picking
400
cotton?
Years? 400 years of slavery? That 1 hour flight? Does it feel like? Wow. Yeah. She went through the whole movie of Roots all in 2 hours between these two people and wants reparations. That is insane. that she would say that. And the fact that she would call it reparations. One thing she said, I want a refund. But how do you even get close to reparations for that?
Right. You know, it's... But here's the thing about this person, right? It was a 3-hour flight. She's a conservative commentator. So this alone says exactly why the reparations came into play, of course. And she was given a $150 voucher. So it's not like they didn't give her something for it, for being wedged between. But I understand the uncomfortability of being between two people who are overlapping onto your seat. My flight today, matter of fact, I saw the guy coming down because there's a woman on the end. I'm on the window. And I see the guy. He's like, yeah, I'm in that seat. And I was really relieved when the woman was like, I'll just sit in the middle. I was like, oh, Jesus. Bless you, my child. He wasn't a small boy. Now, you said I wasn't going to seek reparations.
She's a conservative what now?
Conservative commentator.
Okay. Now, what was the race of the two people that she had to sit next to?
Now, that is a great question.
Let's see.
I don't think it.
Probably didn't say it.
Don't have to say it, but we can see it. She was set between two black people.
Told you. Bam.
You knew what it was. You knew what it was. That's why. Because, look, she goes, I am currently literally wedged between two obese people on my flight. This is absolutely not acceptable or okay. If fat people want to be fat, fine. But if it is something else entirely when I'm stuck between you with your arm rolls on my body for 3 hours.
Just wonder what color the arm rolls were. I think that's the difference. Because I get it. We all don't want to be touched.
They were chocolate arm rolls.
Sound like those fudge brownie arm rolls on me. None of that. None of that fudge brownie arm rolls on me. This was some...
Yeah, see, here's a funny thing.
Sad. It's sad.
American Airlines, their response is, our passengers come in all different sizes and shapes. We're sorry you're uncomfortable on your flight. To which somebody else said, if your passengers come in all different shapes and sizes, why are your seats only wide enough for medium-sized people? You know, that's a damn... I'm switching sides. I'm switching sides because this man has a goddamn point. Why? If you're gonna sit there and take it for everybody, then goddamn it, make it fit for everybody. I want a one size fits all, not a one size fits. Some of y'all.
It used to, but just when planes were first built, people weren't that big. And as we've gotten bigger, planes.
But they've also made the seats smaller. We know they've made
smaller, so they can fit more people on the plane to get more money. So I understand. Hey, I understand. But they do the extra seatbelt extenders. So there's that. But again, I don't think it was the fact that any random person's skin was touching her for 3 hours. It was a particular type of skin that was touching
her. It was a couple of different roles that were on her, and they were both of different. Now, here is the interesting thing about this. And this is where American Airlines... They said, please follow the link for details on all our seat options, right? Now, they have some very spacious seats. But them shits are first class, business class, flagship first, and flagship business. You got to spend the extra money. A lot of these big people aren't spending that money.
You need the extra space. You need to spend the extra money. See nothing wrong with that.
Wait, should there be a weight limit for the regular seats? I know some people, they make them pay for two seats, but...
I don't think it's based on weight. I think it's based on width. Because you could be 250 pounds and athletic and be fine in those seats. Or you can be 5 foot even, 250 pounds, and you might flow into the other seat. It's possible.
And let's be honest here. And again, this is why I'm starting to see this woman's case. It wasn't just the arm rolls. You know them leg rolls are rolling over too. So
that's me. I'm just saying. I'm a glass half full kind of person. I'd be like, you know, a lot of times flights are a little cold, a little chilly. I'm just sitting there just wedged up. It's just like being in the middle of a nice blanket. Like when we were kids, you had to sleep, you know, your cousins all slept in the same bed. Same thing. You just kind of just, this is nice.
Next thing you're going to say, the plane went down, she had her own airbags, personal airbags.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You, glass half full. I got to look at it from a different angle. I see nothing wrong with it. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, tell me the next time you're wedged between two people, because I'm with this woman. Give her reparations, and I want some too. God damn
if
it.
If those two obese people broke out tuna fish sandwiches on the flight, then she would definitely get reparations for that, because no one wants to be on a flight with tuna fish sandwiches in the air.
Imagine if one farted, then the other farted. You know what? I'm getting out of here before we get in trouble. Yeah.
That's a go down.
I can feel it already. I can feel it already. I can hear your brain ticking. You know, we'll be back on Thursday. Married at First Sight, Season 15, Decision Day. Then next Monday, we're back with our second of four parts for the Love is Blind Season 3 recap. And then, of course, next Monday, we'll also be back with the audio. And on Tuesday, we'll be back with the video with episode 107. A lot of stuff as we get wrapping up in this fourth quarter of the year here.
Yeah, it's going to be good, and can't wait to be almost on Married at First Sight. So just happy about that.
Yeah, we only got like 3 or 14 more weeks.
Get my Wednesdays back.
Hey, I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you found on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.